Thank God. I appreciate each and every one of you being with us tonight. Thank God for what He showed us thus far this week. Thank God for what He showed us last night as I always was studying. I want to look tonight and find the reading in Acts chapter number 13. I want to read one verse in your hearing. We're going to kind of bounce around tonight. I want to look at one man's life. I pray they'd be a help unto you. Acts in chapter number 13. And I want to read verse number 22. Acts 13 and verse number 22. When finding your place, if you would stand. In the reverence of reading of God's Word this evening, Acts chapter 13 and verse number 22. The Bible says, "And when he had removed him, he raised him up unto them, David, to be their king, to whom also he gave a testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Our Father and our God, I thank Thee tonight. God, You've allowed us, Father, to come back into Your house. God, I thank You, Father, for, Lord, showing us this passage of Scripture, and I pray, God, tonight, Father, that You'd speak to those, God, the ears that it falls on. I pray, God, tonight You'd be with those watching by way of internet. I pray, God, that You'd speak to them, Father. Would You anoint the hearing, God, of Your people? I pray, God, that You'd open this Scripture up unto us. And I pray, God, that You'd feed us, God, the things we need to know. I pray, God, tonight, Father, Lord, You'd deal with us. I pray, God, that You'd anoint our hearing. I ask, Father, You convict our souls, God, that we live a better and closer walk with Thee. I pray, God, tonight, God, that You'd help us, Father, as we preach. I pray, God, You'd illuminate my mind. God, would You loose my lips, Father, and I ask, God, Lord, that You'd touch it, Father, and be man of God from a sweet heaven, Lord, in a throne room on high. I pray, God, tonight, for those, God, that's lost. I pray, God, that You'd save them. God, for time runs eternally everlasting too late. Help us, God, tonight, I pray. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. We thank You for standing with us tonight. I see in the last part of this verse here, the Bible says, "I have found David," this is the Lord speaking, I would believe, "the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." The Lord began to deal with me last night as I'd read over this and just kind of bouncing around and looking in different spots of the Bible, just really just gleaning in the fields of glory as I was studying and just getting fed and getting help. But I want to look at this thought tonight, doing all of God's will. Doing all of God's will the Lord has set out for our life. And I thank God for each and every one of you that's here tonight. And I want to look at the life of David, because as God said, "which shall fulfill all my will." God had faith in David, and David done exactly what God set out for David to do all his life. Everything that David ever done, every place and every step that David ever went or made, he done the will of our Father. David done the will of God Almighty in his life, and I want to take a look at the count at that tonight. And I see here as we begin to look in the latter part of chapter 13 and verse 22, and that phrase there, "which shall fulfill all my will." That means to make each and every thing of what God commands or wishes to be done by us. And I want to look tonight, with God being my helper, that each and every one of us will have a better understanding of how serious it is that we do the will of the Father and everything that He has set for us to do. And as I ride down the road, and I can't even begin to tell you a story upon story upon story of great men like Brother Percy Ray and Brother R.G. Lee and all these great men, and even as great as Brother Percy was, and as great as even as when they was trying to, when Brother Percy and the Lord was dealing with him about getting Camp Zion started up, and how the Lord was dealing with Brother Percy, and Brother Percy didn't want to do that, and said, Lord, would you find somebody else? And the Lord began to deal with Brother Percy, and I mean, he done the will of God to the point that the man went out into a bean patch, and begin to pray in the middle of the night. I mean, now granted, these people have been praying for 6 days now. And on the seventh day, when God would work in other meetings, and they come back to Camp Zion and said, well, why can that not happen here? These people wanted the will of God in their life. Brother Percy went out to the bean patch now, and God told him, said, you get out there and you pray. And Brother Percy was agonizing to the point. And the people said, Lord God, he's going to die. Said, he said, call to God and said, God, if this be you, he said, would it be of your will? Would you send a light out of heaven and let me read my Bible? And God did. Now that's doing the will of God now. And I believe tonight we'd have us to see that we'd be doing the will of God too. I believe it's God's will that we'd be doing everything God see fit for our life. Because I'm afraid that each time we're not in the will of God, somebody's missing out on heaven. Somebody's missing out on God's call on their life. Somebody's missing out on the thing that God's calling them to do, that God wants to use you to show them, bless God, that it's the will of God that they go this direction. Or it's the will of God that they go down this path and do what God... I mean, people is dealing... God is dealing today. God's dealing with a people and dealing with each and every one of us. And I believe God wants to use each and every one of us to help each and... Hey, it's the will of God that I help my brother in Christ out, or I help my sister in Christ out. God don't want us rambling around here on our own. God would see fit for us to do the will of God in everything He would have us to do. I want to look at an account tonight. The man David, the great David, and the many great things that he has done. And I want to bounce around tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want to see, first of all, you turn with us to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 2. I see our first point is the heeding to the call. Heeding to the call of God's will on our life. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, this is Paul speaking, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Heeding this call. Let me say, first of all, you can't heed the call of God and God's will on your life unless, first of all, you have salvation. Let's get that first time furthermore. You are not going to be able to do the will of God unless you have the saved, anointing blood of God Almighty applied to your life. Maybe you're listening by way of internet and you say, preachers, don't make no sense to me. Bless God, you've got to be saved before you can even begin to do the will of the Father. Because God ain't going to come down and try to get you to do His will when you ain't even His. Hey, man.
Amen.
Bless God, I mean, God didn't call me to preach before I was saved. Now, it was in God's plan that, hey, you know, one day I'm going to offer salvation to this boy and pray that God He accepts it. And I came and stepped up on that day and I accepted God into my life. August the 8th of 2010. And bless God, I may be the preacher and the devil battles with me. He's battled with me all day long about my salvation. He battles me because I'm obviously doing the will of the Father. I'm doing what God's will would be for my life, or the devil wouldn't be antagonizing me. Can't get the words out of my mouth. If I be doing what God would have me to be doing, the devil's going to be on the same page you're on, aggravating you exactly where he's aggravating you, because you're doing what God's will would be for your life.
Amen.
And I'll tell you right now, if a devil ain't bothering you, you best be checking up. Because you ain't going to be doing no will of the Father if the devil ain't bothering you. But Scott, you've got to be saved. Listen to me, Facebook. You have got to have God's blood and atonement on your life, saved by the one true living God. And His name's Jesus. That's His name. His name's Jehovah. That's the one true living God. And you ain't going to do His will until you're saved. So we see, first of all, to be able to heed the call, you've got to be saved. And I believe, without a shadow of a doubt in my heart, and the Bible even says it to back me up. In 1 Timothy 2 and 4, the Bible says, who will have all men? Who? God is who. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? God wants all men to be saved. God wants all women to be saved. God don't want any of us to go to hell, bless God. It ain't the will of the Father that we be falling off into hell, but out of stupidity, out of ignorance, out of arrogance of the flesh. Bless God, I hear over and over and over of people that come. I was listening today. I was listening to a preacher from the Turkey Creek, from over Transylvania County, and I was listening to what God done. And this has been back years ago, and I was telling my brothers about it. But I was listening to, he said, they'd be 1,500 to 2,000 people show up for the church service now. And I'm talking, when I say show up, I'm talking the women to come and get here about 2 o'clock and bring the dinner, and the men get off work and show up and meet them just so they can get a seat in the house of God. They didn't care how close they could park. They just wanted in. So sometimes they might not get out of service till 3 and 4 in the morning. But let me tell you, the thing about it is, bless God, he said, the Lord said, I don't want anybody to fall off into hell. Now, there's people in this meeting, as they tell me, said they'd stand there for 4 or 5 hours and never move because conviction was so thick. Never move. God dealing with them 4 and 5 hours. I mean, I'm talking, could you imagine, saith, playing just as I am for 4 and 5 hours because the Spirit of God was so thick in a place and people don't know what to do. They just stand there under conviction. I'm talking seeing 150, 200 people get saved every night and this go on for a month. That's the will of the Father. That's the will of God. God, I mean, when He was falling on this meeting back in them days, and He's the same God then as He is now, as He is tomorrow, and that same thing can happen now if we get serious about a prayer life, if we get the will of God on our life and get to praying about some things and really get on a one-level relationship with God the Father. But He said, I'd see you, brother, I'd have it not that anybody fall off into hell, that every man be saved. That's God. It ain't the will of God that nobody goes to hell tonight. Now let's get that out of the way. Because I hear some people say, well, some people just, that's where they're going. Well, that might be so, but that ain't the will of the Father. The Father don't want nobody to go to hell. The Father's done made heaven big enough for everybody. Now, God forbid, some days a lot of people done went off into hell. Say, Lord God, preacher, this is a Wednesday night crowd. That's okay. Let's just get on the same page here. Bless God, there's done been too many people fall off into hell because some of us Christians ain't doing what God's will is on our life and letting them go. It's the will of the Father that we be doing all of God's will. All of it. And I see David heeding to that call. Where did I see David heeding to the call at? Not only there, we see here over in Psalm. You turn with me to the book of Psalm here. I'm going to give you some more scripture. Psalm chapter number 27. Psalm chapter number 27. The Bible says in verse number 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Bless God. Now, David, he's writing pretty much the majority of the Psalms. There'd be a couple in there that David didn't write. But as David said there, he said in verse number 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Can you say that tonight? Bless God, He's my light and my salvation. And it's by His will and His grace that I stand before you tonight and bring forth for you that God's laid on my heart that it's time we start doing all of God's will for our life. All of it. church, not just a little bit, not just enough to get the Lord off our back until we can get back on Sunday, but that we do all the will of the Father. That we do everything God sets out in our life. I know there's probably one of you today probably went by a lost person, and the Lord said, you speak to them, and you walked on by. There's a man named Percy Ray that done that two or three times. And I mean, I hear about Percy Ray, and I think, Lord God, man, that man hung a moon. That man, God used that man. That man failed just like me and you fail. Just as much as God used Percy Ray, and as great as God used Percy Ray to make Camp Zion, and just as good as God uses your pastor failed. Percy Ray failed. I fail. Your deacons fail because we ain't doing all of God's will in our life. It's a serious thing to just leave out a small portion. Let me give you an example. I do a lot of cooking. I love to cook. I like to cook a lot of different things. And usually, 90% of the time, you can kind of a shimmy here and a little shake there and just a pinch here and a nibble there and a flick there until you get into doing the whole jelly and the jam situation. Then you've got to follow it exactly and precisely to the way the ingredients call for. Because if you don't give the ingredients exactly the right amount of this and exactly the right amount of that and exactly the right amount of that and exactly the right amount of this, then your jelly ain't going to set up. It's going to be runny. Then you're going to be in a sloppy situation. And you ain't going to be able to stand strong in sloppy conditions. Same way with the will of God. If we ain't doing every will of God that God's laid out for our life, we're going to slip up in our sloppy conditions. Because we ain't tidying up and doing everything that God see fit for our life. We wonder why oftentimes God gets on us like He does. It's because we ain't doing all His will. We got to do all of it. All of it. I mean, you think about it now. When my wife tells me to go do such and such and such and such and such a thing, and if I do such and such and skip a thing, a two, a three, and do such and such a more, I didn't do all of it. And my wife's going to know. The Lord's going to know. The Lord knows, and it's got on the list, and we do, well, this is His will for His life. And that's His will for His life. And there's three lost people on the street down here on the left that I told him to speak to. Well, he kind of skipped out on them three. And then maybe two or three more things that was on our venue for our will, and we didn't do it. But we see David here done pretty much the will that God called him to do. Because God even called him out on it. And said, this man is a man after mine own heart. Can you say that about yourself today? Are you a person that's after God's own heart? Because I can guarantee you, if we ain't after God's heart, we're after something else. If we ain't after the heart of God and the things of God, I mean, it's tiring. Don't get me wrong, it's tiring. I mean, there'd be times I'd be sitting at my desk and beat my head against the wall because I fall asleep reading the Bible. It is tiring. Our flesh ain't made up for that. Our flesh can't handle all that glory. Our flesh can't handle all that understanding. But it's our position, our job, it's our opportunity. It's by the grace of God that we've got the opportunity to do all of God's will. Now, God knows we ain't going to do it because we're not perfect. There's one man I look up to, and that's my daddy. My daddy hung a moon in my life. He done everything for me. But I know that my daddy's not perfect. My daddy goofs. My daddy slips up. I slip up. But there's one man that don't slip up. That's God Almighty and His Son Jesus. And the Holy Triune and the Holy Ghost, them men don't slip up. Them men's on point. But they've got a set trail for our life, and the same as David. He had such a trail set out for David's life that they even called for him out in the field. We see, second of all, holding to that call. We see the heat of the call, but I want to look at the holding of the call. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, the Bible says, we see here, we know that David, when he was called, and now David was anointing now, and I'll read that to you. In chapter 16, in verse 13, the Bible says, in 1 Samuel 16 and 13, or let's back up
Let me back up to verse number 11. The Bible says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy," which means redheaded, "and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." That's David heeding the call right there. David had every opportunity. Now, you think about it now. David's heeding sheep. It didn't say he's in the backyard heeding sheep and herding sheep and keeping up with the flock. These sheep got to go way out through yonder. And David had every opportunity to accept that call or reject that call. But David heeded that call. I thank God one day I heeded the call. And the Lord called on my life and anointed my life. And from that day forward, the Lord's been with me. And the Lord's been with you. If you've been saved, the Lord's with you tonight, church. The Lord's with you in every situation, in every circumstance, in every problem, everything you face. You've been worried to death, brother, about your wife. But God's been right there. You've been worried to death about the situations of this church. And God's been all over them. He's been right there through every circumstance and every trial, every tribulation. And we see David, not only did he heed the call, but David's holded to the call. He's held on to it. There's going to be times when you go through this life, there's going to be one man that's going to want you to let go of that call. Who is that? The devil. The devil don't want you holding on to that call. I mean, 70 years, yeah, that might not seem like a long time, and the life is but of a vapor. But if the devil can make you slip up and let go of your calling, think of who all that's going to affect. That ain't really taking the whole phrase here, doing all of God's will. If the devil can get you to just do part of it, that'll be okay, right? That's what the devil's going to say. We see David here, he held to the call. I see some different parts of where David held to the call. I see here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verse 33, the Bible says, "And Saul," this is King Saul at the time, "and Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine, to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee." The Lord's been with David his whole life. From the time that they anointed David's head with oil, when they called him out of the pasture, bless God, he's been with him. And he's been with you. And bless God, if you just let him, just let God have the reign in your life. And let God just let his will be done and do it. I mean, if God says go down the street and talk to the woolly-looking fella down there on the left, laid up by the trash can, go talk to him. Because we got to do all of God's will, church. We got to do all of His will. I see here David, his brothers mocked him. In verse 28, the Bible says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those what? Few." The Bible says, you ain't going to turn here, let me read this to you. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, in chapter number 25, in verse number 23. The Bible says, Matthew 25 and 23, His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. God ain't calling us a whole list full of willful things that God's will is on our life. You think about that now. We make it out to be God's list for our life as like the pages on this Bible. So many times we think, God, Lord, you just want me to do this, and you just want me to do that. The reason our list keeps feels like it's compiling just sentence after sentence after sentence is because we skip the first one or the third one. And when we skip one, the Lord just puts it right back behind the next one. You're catching my drift? When we skip got one will for our life, the Lord's so merciful that He just lines it right back up under the next and gives us another opportunity. For therefore, you might be going, and maybe going, whether it be your job or whether it be maybe down to the convenience store, but God puts this person in your life to witness to. We don't know whether that be their last chance or whether that be their first chance, whether what strike that may be against them. But God is wanting to use your life and it be the will of your life that you might speak to them and maybe plant a seed, lead them to the Lord. Maybe the Lord's done been dealing with them and you're the one that's going to get the privilege to lead them to the Lord and see salvation free. I mean, just dumped out of heaven. I mean, you might be going to help them from bad day. They might be fixing to kill themselves. And it be the will of the Father that He wants to use you, a good-for-nothing, rotten nobody is you, to keep them from killing themselves or from hurting themselves or more so falling off into hell. And that's the will of the Father. If that's the only thing you do all week, but it's because that's one that didn't make it there. That's one the devil couldn't get a hold of because you done the one thing God had for you to do maybe that week. But the Bible also says, where much is given, much is required. So when you begging and pleading, God use me, God use me, God use me, God use me, and yet you're skipping out on wheel after wheel after wheel. You've been praying for this thing. You've been begging God to use you, begging God to step up in your life, begging God to put you up on a heap, and begging God to just really, I mean, not so much to put the spotlight on you, but just you, let God, would you use my life? God, would you use me? God, would you answer my prayer? And God begins to answer these things and you start skipping out on His will. Don't get quiet on me now, church. Listen, I'm preaching to just as much myself as I am anybody else. There ain't nobody wants the Lord's will more for their life than I do. God, I want His will all over my life. Man, I just ride around all day long. God, just get all over me. God, would you? Because honestly, I feel so unworthy. I feel so you. I mean, the devil gets on my back, and I'm sure the devil gets on your preacher. The devil gets on your deacons. The devil gets on the men's group that comes and prays every Tuesday. Hey, he's on them because they're doing the will of the Father. They're taking forth each and every one of your needs before the Father every week. And they make a special trip to come here to do that. God's going to bless that. They're holding tight to the call. The Lord's called 7 or 8 or 10 or however many of them they are to come here and pray. And what's these men doing? They're holding tight to the call. What if I didn't hold tight to my call and I come before you tonight and I'm just kind of scrounging around, scrabbling around, not really stay. I thought, well, you know, we'll just go, we'll just shoot from the hip and maybe we'll help you, maybe not. Shoot, no, I'm in knots, bless God. I could go puke. I mean, I'm a nervous wreck because yous are my people. And I love yous. And I want to see yous get it like I get it. I want to see yous just slaver, just slobber all over yourself because you've got to hold a piece of Jesus jerky. And man, it's just it's exactly what you need. I mean, you're halfway through the week, and Lord God, it's been good on Sunday. And man, you've cheered on Sunday, you know, Monday and Tuesday, and well, that jerky's kind of wearing out a little bit. And God gets all over the preacher and comes back and gives you another piece of Jesus jerky to last you until Sunday. And I mean, you can just, I mean, I want to see him just foaming at the mouth. It's so good. I mean, I want to see my people get it. But we got to be doing all. Key word. A three-letter word. All of God's will. God said that we need to be doing all His will. And I would very so say that even, you know, even David, he might have slipped up a time or two, but God made it a mention. Because Paul's going into Antioch, a very serious place to preach. A very serious message. And Paul goes in there and says, this is what the Lord said. David is a man after his own heart. After God's own heart. And bless God, God chose David because He knew David would get the job done. David would do all the will of his Father. God wants you. There's 36 Davids in here tonight. One David took a leather sheath, five smooth stones, and killed the giant. Said he reared back. Said he hastily, he ran into the battle. It even says there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, about the latter, the earlier half of the chapter there, David's father, Jesse, now get me now, Jesus come out of this bloodline. If you look in about the first chapter of Matthew there, there's a whole big list of names. And you see like Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat such and such. And you see King David, who we're preaching about tonight, looking at the account of his life. And Jesus comes right out of that.
Amen.
But said he showed up, and Jesse told him, said, here's some butter, here's some cakes, here's some stuff. And you said, you go into battle and you take this to your brothers. Said he got in there. Said he's kind of fellowshipping with everybody. You know, hey, David, what's up? David, yeah, David's good to see you. David, we know you're anointed. It's good to see you. And said the Philistine stepped up on the hill and all the Israelites just disappeared. David said, that ain't nothing. He said, thy servant was watching the sheep, and the bear and the lion showed up and stuck one from me and said, I took it back from him and stuck him in the mouth twice. Grabbed him by the beard and gave it to him. I mean, laid him up. That was little old David now. Little old David that God used for him to watch up Saul, and God took Saul out and put David in now. And let David do all the great things. And David, hey, this whole time, David had every opportunity in the world. I mean, could you imagine being the king over such great things? Even God Almighty Himself coming down and said, I chose Seth. Because Seth would do the will of my father, and Seth was after my heart. Or I chose Beverly because Beverly was after my heart. Or I chose Mr. Frizzoli because he was after my heart. Or I chose Keith and Mary because they was after my heart. And I know they'd get the job done. I know they'd do my will. Bless God. Hey, there's 36 of you Davids here tonight, and I need you to do all the will of the Father. Every bit of it. You think what little David done? Little old sheep farmer. Little old boy, just little red-headed boy. I mean, he looked cute, probably maybe some freckles and what have you. And just run the sheep around. And God said, I want that one. Well, God peeled the hood off of Bethel tonight and said, there's 36 of them I want tonight. 36 of them I want tonight to do my will. I want you to do all my will. Could he peel back the hood tonight and look down there? This is the engine compartment of Bethel's main powertrain. Yeah, we might have 300, 400 some odd members here on Sunday morning, but this is the backbone. This is what makes the wheels turn right here. I mean, you look around. Everybody look around. Look around. You chose to come back on Wednesday night, thank God for it. And God's giving you a little bit, and God pulled the hood back and said, there's 36 of you, I won't. If you want to see Bethel get up on a heap, like I preached about on Sunday night, if you want to see Bethel get on a heap, if you want your spiritual life to get on a heap, you want to see God magnified and just Lord God beautified, and I mean words, there just ain't enough words to describe God Himself sitting on the throne in your life, then do all God's will. Every bit of it. Even you, Brother Keith, me and you talk all the time, and you say, I couldn't do what that man does. But God chose Brother Keith and Miss Vicky. God chose Brother Bobby. God chose my brother. Yes, sir. So He chose you now. You. You. Little old nothing. Brother Vince. He chose Brother Vince. I just want to shake all y'all's hands. Because He chose you. God could have went anywhere else tonight. And God is everywhere. God's everywhere. And I don't know what other men of God's preaching at our sister churches. But God sent me tonight to tell you, all 36 of you, to do all of God's will. And I know there's probably some of you watching by way of Facebook tonight, and you need to do His will too. I don't know what the Lord's dealing with you, and I don't know what God's calling on your life or what He's showing you, but you do all of God's will and don't skip out on it, amen. It ain't worth it, church. It ain't worth it to skip out on the Lord's will. Hey, if I'd have skipped out on His will a while back, I'd still been somewhere else carrying the gospel. But God called me to come back here and do a work. That's where He called me to be, is here. What if I'd have done, if that had been the one thing on my list? Well, I'm going to skip out on that, God. I'm enjoying it too good on the road. I wouldn't have been here tonight telling you about how good it could be if you'd just do all His will. I mean, so many times, I even catch myself going back to my prayer closet and right down the road and praying, I mean, just constantly, just over and over and over. Lord, what, where am I messing up? God, where am I fouled up? God, what is it that I'm doing wrong? And the Lord said, well, maybe don't you think you probably skipped out on such and such, and I've just moved it back another notch. Even the preacher misses the will of the Father. I'm not perfect. Your pastor's not perfect. Your deacons are not perfect. But I beg of you to try and do everything you can do to do all of God's will. Thirdly, and I'll be done. We see David heeding the call and God's anointing on David's life. We see David holding to the call and everything that David done. I mean, I could even go over into the book of 1 Kings and talk a little more about that. But we see here, we'll go back to our key text in the book of Acts, chapter 13, in verse 22, and then I'll jump over a little further in the latter half of the chapter. The Bible says in Acts 13, and in verse number 35, the Bible says, wherefore he saith also, in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation, by what? The will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised, again saw no corruption. Thirdly, I see two things here. I see David, as he honored the call, he done it all his life. He done everything that God called him to do. He honored that. But second of all, not only I see David honoring that call, I see God honoring that call. If you'll do what God's called you to do, He's going to honor that. He's going to honor it. I mean, He'll back it up. I mean, God won't stumble. God won't forget it. We'll forget about it. We'll forget things in life because we're human. Because we're flesh. I'm 28 years old and I forget stuff all the time. I mean, it's too foolish how much I forget. But God will not forget it. I mean, it might be something God called you to do so simple as just smile at somebody because God told you to. Maybe about the first week you say, man, you was running across this land. I mean, grinning from ear to ear, just tickled absolutely death. God saved you from a devil's hell and saved you from a place so dark and dreary. Bless God. And then, you know, maybe a couple years down the road and things ain't as easy as they once was. Your walk of life, I mean, you've got closer to the Lord. And then it's just starting to be a grind, and it's just starting to be a struggle just day in and day out, and you're living for the Lord, and that's how it's going to be. Man's going to struggle because the closer you get to the Father, the harder it's going to be. I mean, I'd give anything to come in here and tell you, church, that it's just going to be a field of dandelions and a soft patch of potting soil to walk through. But it ain't. It ain't. I think about a preacher I've heard. My dad's told me this story many a time. I think about he went across on a mission trip into a far country to meet up with this devil worshiper, witchcraft connoisseur. Said he got over there and really didn't want to go. His brother Mays Jackson said he got over there. The Lord told him, said, you get over there and you start telling this man about me. Exalt me. Do my will. Do what I've called you to do. Do the will that I've set out for Brother Mays. Said he got over there and that witchcraft doctor said, okay. Said if you think your God's all that, said, here's what we're going to do. Said, we're going to build a pit, a hot coals. As long as this pew, hot coals, glass, I mean just nastiness. So that old witchcraft got over there and he got to praying to the devil or whatever he thought he was praying to. Said he took off across through yonder and went to the other side. Now, if you don't know Brother Mays now, Brother Mays is a pretty hefty, well-fed, grain-fed youngin' now. He got over there and said, Lord, God, that just look, God, look. I don't know what to say, God. I can't. And God said, go. That's my will. You do it for me. Said Brother Mays took his shoes off. Said he went across that and you'd be on hot coals and tippy-toe and whatnot. Said he got to the other side, looked down and wasn't burnt nor cut. Said he, old Brother Mays got in the glory and went back two or three and four more times. Say, what happened, preacher? Say, that witchcraft doctor got saved because Brother Mays done the will of the Father. Brother Mays didn't back out because God sent him over here and things looked bad and the road looked hard and things looked treacherous and scary. Brother Mays done the will of the Father. And it's if you do God's will, God's going to honor it. God honored Brother Mays doing the will of the Father that day and saved that man. Now think of what had happened. Brother Mays got over and didn't do the will of the Father. And that man had probably went and told half a dozen of his other buddies or what have you. And that man had went off into hell. I think about the many people I run across during the day. And how many people's going to be falling off into hell because somebody slipped up and didn't do all God's will. The Bible says it ain't God's will for anybody to perish but everybody be saved. God wants everybody to go to heaven with salvation and live in an eternity. But it's going to take each and every one of us doing all God's will. Doing all of God's will. You stand to your feet tonight. That's doing all of God's will. I'm going to challenge you that you'd leave from here tonight with a mindset of doing all God's will. All of it now. There's going to be times that God's going to want you to do something. And it might seem silly.
it might seem small. Maybe you're crunched for time, because I know we live in a fast-paced life. But even something so small in God's will could be, I mean, it could turn into something great now. Something great. But I challenge you that you'd do all God's will. Our Father, God, I thank Thee tonight. Father, for allowing us, God, to be able to look into a portion of Your Word. Father, I thank Thee for challenging us, Lord, challenging me, God, that I might do the will of the Father in every last drop of it. God, that we'd leave nothing left out on the table. God, when it's all said and done, and the trumps called and sounded, and You've called us home, or we go by the way of the grave, I pray, Father, that we get to heaven and there'd not be one last jelly bean in the jar of heaven that was the will for our life and it didn't get accomplished. I pray, Father, tonight that You'd be with each and every heart and soul that's here. I pray, Father, that You'd, Lord, You'd show them. Father, would You deal with them? God, that we'd take it, Lord, not for granted, God, but we'd deal decisively. And we take it serious, Father, that it's a serious thing that we do all God's will for our life. Help us, Father, to never miss a beat, Lord, of You speaking to us. Help us, Father, to never get caught up in this life, God, to the point that we'd quit listening to You. And God, we'd miss Your will for our life. Help us, God, tonight, I pray. Father, I ask that You'd be with the pastor and his family, Father, as they, Lord, travel home this weekend. I pray, God, that You would touch them. I ask, Father, You give them travel, mercy, and grace. Father, would You feed our man, our under-shepherd, God, give him that in which we stand in need of for Sunday. God, I pray You'd speak to people so hungry. And God, help us, Father, to get on fire for God. Lord, that we'd see a great moving of the mighty Spirit here at Bethel. Lord, I ask, God, that You'd do that. Help us, Father, to get serious. Help us, Father, to be willing to sacrifice. God, that You'd be uplifted. Touch us, God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.